I want to do something this morning that is a little bit unusual for me. I want to go back to a subject that I actually tried to speak upon not very long ago. I knew it had not been that long, but so I looked it up, and it was in October of last year. So it was just last fall, but I usually try to not go back and hit on the same subject very close together, and I've always tried to really do that. So I try to keep a record of what I speak on and want to make sure that I'm going from cover to cover and we're not duplicating efforts and all. But these thoughts just wouldn't leave me this week, and so I kind of started thinking about it earlier in the week, and they just kind of stayed with me. So I'm trusting in the Lord this morning that he will bless us for a few moments together. I want to go back and look at Psalms 39 for a beginning place for a little while this morning together. Psalms 39 was written by David, and he begins by saying, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. And then spake I with my tongue. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine ages as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And he ends the phrase with Selah, which means to pause and rest and reflect upon what was just said. You probably remember us talking about this. It wasn't that long ago. But I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it is some of the events of this past week. We've had funerals for two people that we love and very dearly that have departed our presence here on earth. I've learned of several others that have terminal illness. And so the realities of life are sometimes just brought back into focus for us. And maybe that's part of it. But I think it is such an important lesson. This is very worthwhile that we would hear this more than once in our lifetime, what David is saying here. You know, David had a lot of wisdom. David had a lot of experience. He was a great, great military leader, probably the greatest military leader in the history of the nation of Israel. He was sort of like, he had the experience of being a special ops commander. He was that experienced militarily. But he had so much wisdom, and that God spoke with him often. He had a very special relationship with the Lord, and they spoke and communed on a regular basis. In fact, God said that he's a man after mine own heart. So there were many similarities between David's heart and the Lord's heart. And I'm sure that they had similar thoughts and similar emotions at times. But I'm kind of focusing in on this morning as David says, there was a time where I was sitting and I was reflecting. That word musing means to meditate, contemplate, reflect, to ponder, or maybe even to murmur or whisper. You know, like we might whisper to ourselves if we're thinking about something. We sometimes catch ourselves mumbling under our breath a little bit. That's what it means. You might have been musing and didn't know it. It's not a word that we use very often, but it's kind of interesting. That's what it means to ponder and to meditate. David was thinking about things. He was thinking about things in his heart. He said his heart was hot within him. Something was troubling his heart, and he was pondering some issue or some matter. And he says, and then I spake with my tongue. And he spoke out to the Lord, and this was on David's mind and on his heart. He said, Lord, Make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Now, this is the greatest general and military leader that Israel has ever had. And he's praying and speaking to the Lord, asking that the Lord might somehow give him the knowledge and the wisdom and help him to understand better how weak he really is, how short that his number of his days are, and how frail his body is. You know, if you describe someone as being frail, how do you picture them? Is it not kind of weak and feeble, maybe trembling, maybe unsteady on their feet? Someone who maybe is an advanced age, and if they fell, you would be very worried they might break something, or break a bone. I mean, that's what I think about when I think about the word frail. You know, when you're Avery's age, you don't think about being frail, or your two brothers. None of you guys ever think about being frail. Jackson and Maddie, you don't think about yourselves being frail because you're in the vigor of your youth right now. And so we pray that the Lord will give you all many, many years, many wonderful years to live on this earth. But one day, if God blesses you enough and you live to be old enough, we will all come to a point in which we could be described as being somewhat frail. But I suggest to you this morning, and I submit, that we're all much more frail than we are willing to acknowledge. Even right now, we're much weaker, we're much, much less self-sufficient and strong and vigorous than we think we are. And I believe David has an understanding of this, and he prays to the Lord, and he says, make me to know mine end. I don't think he's asking God, God, how much time do I have left? When am I going to die? You know, a lot of us maybe would like to know that, but I submit that the way God has it designed, and he hasn't told us that, and he never tells us that, until maybe sometimes just before the end, we may find out that we're sick and we know that our time is limited, but ordinarily we don't know how long we will live. I don't think David is asking that, but I just believe that he's asking God, make me to know that my life is short. Make me to know that I have an end and it's approaching. Make me to know the measure of my days, how short life is. You know, what David is asking and he's speaking to the Lord about is the brevity of life. And it really is short, isn't it? That's what David is speaking to the Lord about. And he says, Lord, make me know how frail that I am. You know, when I was young and maybe a teenager, I never even thought about the end of life. Yeah, I thought about this. I don't know if this is really true or not, but I thought about how when you're young, it seems like life is going by at a much slower pace. You know, when you're 10 years old, you have a lot of life left in front of you. Ordinarily, if you're blessed to live to be 70 or 80, somewhere in there, you have so many days left ahead of you that one day is really just a very small part of your life, isn't it? But when you're 80 years old, you know that you have a lot fewer days left in front of you, and each day is a much larger percentage of your life that's remaining. And I'm wondering, is that the reason that as you age and get older, it feels like life is going by faster? It seems like I have two birthdays a year now. It feels that way. But I've wondered about that. I mean, it seems plausible. But David says, Lord, I want you to make me know my end is coming and the measure of my days. Remind me, Lord, how short my life is. Remind me how frail I am and how dependent upon thee that I truly am. You know, the Bible has a lot of writers that talk about the brevity of life. We all like to think about all the things we make plans for, all the wonderful things that we're going to do in life. And that's good, and I think we should. I believe God expects us to have goals, to set goals, and to try to achieve them, and that we might work hard and move toward goals that make us happy. I believe that's good. But listen at some of the writers of the Bible and how they describe the brevity of life. I'll tell you, if there's one book that I've ever read that I believe and I can always take stock in, that I know that I'm getting the truth, it is God's book. It is the Holy Bible. There's a lot of things, a lot of writings out today I can't say that about, but I can about the Lord's one book that he wrote and he left for us and he preserved it. Listen at some of the things the writers said. Job said in chapter 7, verse 6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind." Wind is usually here for a moment and then gone the next, isn't it? I don't know if I've only seen a weaver's shuttle maybe just a couple of times in my life, and I think it was when I was on vacation somewhere. They may have had a little mock-up village or settlement of early America, and it would have an actor sitting there and be operating a shuttle that they would weave yarn together to make clothing. And I just remember the way it was built. It had a piece that was going back and forth, but that's how it was weaving the yarn together and to make garments to wear. Well, that's what Job says. He says, "My life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle." And Job 8, verse 9, one of Job's miserable comforter friends named Bildad said this, and he got this right, by the way. He says, "We are of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow." I love thinking about a shadow. When these Bible writers describe our life as being but a shadow. Do you know a shadow is so immaterial? What is it? We see the outline of something, but there's no real substance there, is it? About the time you try to reach out and reach and take hold of a shadow, it is moved or it's changed. It's just not much there. Many of these Bible writers describe our life as but a shadow. Here one minute, gone the next. Always moving, always changing shapes. Very interesting. Job himself said in Job 9:25, "Now my days are swifter than a post." A post is a runner. You see, they didn't have smartphones and texting and telephones back then. And to get a message to someone, you had to handwrite it on some type of a note, and you gave it to a person called a post who was a runner, and away they would go, and he'd bring the message. Job says, "My days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships and as the eagle that hasteth to the prey." These birds of prey are something, aren't they? Have you ever seen maybe a live bird of prey, or maybe seen the film of how these eagles and hawks and ospreys, how they catch their prey? They are so fast. They'll locate their prey, then they'll, if they're flying, they'll be above it, and they'll fold their wings up, and down they come like a bullet. It's amazing. And Job says, "I'm like that." He says, "My life is like that." Job says, "My life is like the eagle that hasteth to the prey." Job would go on to write in chapter 14, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." That's it. He's over. The shadow's gone. Jacob told Pharaoh, "Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." Jacob lived to be 147 years old, and yet he described it as being few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. The psalmist in Psalms 89, verse 47 says, "Remember how short my time is." Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? With the question mark. You know, if you ever go and read the writings of Solomon, go read the book of Ecclesiastes, and notice how much that Solomon, the wisest man in the world that ever lived, notice how much he wrote about the vanities of life, about all the different activities and the efforts and things we do in life that are really nothing but vanity. The wisest man in the world, when he summed it all up, he said, many of the things that we're engaged in life are nothing but vanity. And the psalmist here says, remember how short my time is. In Psalms 102, verse 11, the psalmist writes, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. There's that outline, but there's no substance. You really can't even reach out and take hold of it, can you? You can't grab hold to a shadow. Well, our lives are in much the same way. That's what these Bible writers are teaching us. If you'll stop long enough and consider it, our lives are much like a shadow. The other term that they use quite often is our lives are like grass. The grass, that's something we're all familiar with. He says our lives are like grass that withers away very quickly. You know, we're in the height of the grass growing season right now. I'm sure you've noticed. Many of you have been out cutting grass as I have. You ever noticed how you can cut your lawn and you have these nice, lush, green grass clippings? Sometimes if the grass is a little bit high, it's higher than you'd like it to be, and it leaves some laying on the top. And it's this big covering of grass laying there. But come back a day later, day or two later, and see how much it is dried up and shriveled up. Sometimes it even kind of disappears, sinks in the grass and disappears into the mulch. These writers are saying that our life is like that. In Psalms 103, David writes, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. We're like a little beautiful flower of the field. You know, sometimes we're amazed, we're walking along and we're looking in the grass and you just see a little bitty tiny wild flower that has come up that is very pretty and beautiful. And it might catch your eye. But you know the thing about it, its time here is very short. David says that our life is like that. He said our life is like that way. It's like a grass and it's like the flower of the field. We flourish but for a little while. You know, it doesn't take very long also after we leave this world that we're forgotten about. There's no one here left that knows who we were. Now, you think about Brother Devon is buried, his body's buried right outside the church here. What a great place, very appropriate too. How many people Brother Devon knew in his lifetime? I mean, he traveled all over. He was known far and wide, and because of him being in the office of the ministry, there were very many people that knew him. But do you know that this morning, many of those people that knew him and he knew them, many of those people have now passed away, and their lives have gone by like a shadow, and now they're in their heavenly home, and they're gone also. It's much, much fewer people just in a few short years that remember Brother Devon. And all of us are the same way. Everybody that lives is the same way. You go for just a little while and there's a group of people that still remember you. But in a few short years, there's no one left that even knew who you were. Unless something's written down about you, you're by and large forgotten about. We're just here for a little while, like a shadow. I love the writers of the Bible, how they describe it. Isaiah said in Isaiah 40 verse 6, he says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The Bible says we're grass. The summary of our life is like we're grass here on the earth. We're only here for a little while. We only flourish and are healthy for a little while, and then we wither away. I don't like to think about my life's going to wither away, but you know, if I grow old enough, that's what will happen. I'm going to wither away a little bit, and one day I'll wither all the way away, and I'll hope to go home in heaven. But you see how many different writers are describing our life as being short. David is saying, Lord, would you make me to know mine end and the measure of my days? Make me to know how short they are. You know, I believe Peter was quoting probably from Isaiah 40. He says almost the same thing. All flesh is grass. All the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. I love what James says. James, in James 4:14, he says, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Isn't that true? Well, we don't really think about that, but isn't that true? None of us know what tomorrow holds. God knows, but you and I don't know that. I would like to know that many times, but I don't, but God does. James says, we don't know what'll happen tomorrow. He says, for what is your life? He says, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James, look, my toes are still sore from 2 weeks ago, things that James told me. James says, my life is like a vapor. Have you ever woken up in the morning and ever looked out at a beautiful pond? Usually, this time of year for sure, usually if you look out right at daylight at a pond, there's a mist over it. There's a vapor over the pond, and it's pretty. You get busy doing something for a few minutes and you look back and what happened to it? It's gone. It's just gone. Have you ever boiled a pot of water and have you ever watched the steam start coming out of that pot? But I'll tell you, you're not going to watch it very long because it comes up and then it disappears very quick. James says our life is like that. That's about how short our life is. It's like a vapor that appears for a short time and then it's gone. It's not there. All these different writers talking about that, about how short our life is. Moses had a little something to say about the brevity of life also. I'll tell you, I'm just made to remember how when I was younger, I never thought about the brevity of life. It was always there. It was always true, but I never thought about it because I felt like I had so much life in front of me. Well, most of my life is behind me now, and I have a lot less left in front of me. I don't know how much. I may only have moments left in front of me. Only God knows that. But I'll tell you, I feel like I'm like David now. I do understand that life is brief. Life is very brief. And so what does that mean? Why is that important? That we know that and we comprehend how brief life is. Because it's important what we do with our life. God has given us this life. He's given us these bodies. He's given us our time here, and he's blessed us with our time spent with each other and with our loved ones and our families and our church members. And he's given us all this, but what are we going to do with it if we know and understand how short that life really is? It should give us a different outlook on life, and it should help us prioritize our life just a little bit. At least that's my two cents. That's my contention. It should help us prioritize. In Psalms 90, Moses himself wrote Psalms 90. I love to read Psalms 90. Moses said this in verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Moses recognized that God is eternal, and he's always been. And he was here well before this world and this earth was ever formed. God was there. He says, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. When I'm 15 years old, a day seems like, it just seems like forever. When I was in 7th, 8th, 9th grade, we would get out of school sometime in May, toward the end of May, and we wouldn't start back again until Labor Day weekend, right around September 1st. It seemed like those 3 months of summer lasted forever. I can still remember, we'd all be talking, all our friends, we'd be talking about, I wonder what who so-and-so's going to look like when we get back to school. Like some big, long length of time has passed by and they're going to change their appearance somehow. I remember that. But it's only been 3 months. I mean, when you're that young, a day seems forever. But Moses says, if 1,000 years go by in the Lord's sight, he says, it's just like yesterday to the Lord. The Lord can think back 1,000 years ago, and it's like it's just yesterday to him. It's not that significant. He said it's like a watch in the night. A night has four watches divided up into 4 3-hour periods. So 1,000 years to the Lord, it's like a 3-hour period at night. It's nothing to him. But we're just here for a little while. We're like a little vapor, and then we disappear off of the earth. Moses says in verse 10, he says, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Moses said, on average, men are going to live to be somewhere 70 or 80 years old, he says, and then we're cut off. Our lives are cut off because they're not designed to last that long. Life is very brief. Life is very short. And some of us live longer than that. I'll tell you, if you live more than 80 years old, you're very, very blessed. You've already exceeded the average. And we have a few members like that now. Just a testimony to the way God has blessed your life. We have a number of members that are over 80 now. I don't know if I'll get to live that long or not, but I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for the way God has blessed your life. What a super blessing. Sometimes we don't live that long. If you ever go and read the obituaries, notice how many people pass away when they're 40s, in their 40s and 50s and 60s. It is a lot. Just go look through any obituary sometime and you'll see that. Not everyone gets to live that long. Some of our seasons are short. Very short. But Moses says that's the average. He says, so what do we do about that? In verse 12, Moses says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So, having that knowledge, having so many different Bible writers talk to us and tell us about the brevity of life and how our life is really like grass, and like it's like a little flower of the field that's here for a moment, it's beautiful for an instant, and then it withers and fades away quickly. Having so many writers tell us that, what should we do with that knowledge and that information? Moses says, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. I believe that it's a great benefit in blessing for you and I to know about how short our lifespan really is and how frail that we are. I believe it's a huge blessing for you and I to know that. You know what it tells me? It tells me that the real meaning of life is our relationship with God. It's not all these other things that people are spinning their wheels and every ounce of energy they have pursuing and chasing after with all their vigor, because life is short, my friends. That's what the Bible writers are telling us. And what really matters is our relationship with the Lord and how we use our life. Make me to know the number of our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Many of our lives are like a shadow. We're living them there, but there's no real substance. Many people are very busy, but it's all in vain because all their thoughts are nothing but temporal. All their energy is focused on temporal things and not on things above. Many people work hard and they heap up riches, and then what do they do? Something happens suddenly and they leave it all behind to someone else and they don't even know who. That's happened before. Solomon writes about all that. He writes about the vanity of life, but we see these things over and over. But what about our relationship with the Lord? I'll tell you, here's a couple of pearls of wisdom from the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon himself. One of the things that Solomon said is in Proverbs 9, verse 10, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For me," meaning by wisdom, "thy days shall be multiplied and the years of thy life increased." Solomon says the place that a person begins to find wisdom is in the fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. That's the very beginning of it. The fear of the Lord. I think about how we're so blessed with a congregation of young people here. I think about all the things that we read about in the Word of the Lord, and Psalms 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." How can a young man or a young woman cleanse their way before the Lord? By taking heed to the word of the Lord, by reading it, by knowing it, by believing it, by trusting in it and trying to live it and establishing themselves in the word of the Lord and in the house of the Lord. Solomon said that. He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and he says the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of this book is true understanding. There's a lot of places we can go and receive education in this world, and I'm a big proponent of education. I really believe in it. It'll do you good. Whatever that you're able to get, it will always do you good. You'll have it. No one can ever take it from you. Sometimes it will help you in the job market and things like that. Education is good. I'm a believer in it. But I'll tell you where real education is in the understanding of the holy things of God's word. That's what Solomon says, the wise man. He says that's where understanding truly lies. Here's another one he said. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Brother Avery, you know the time for you to start serving the Lord is right now. It's while you're young. Same with you, Brother Josh, Brother Jackson, Sister Maddie, all the other young ones that we have here, Brother Nathaniel, he's gone. The time for you guys to serve the Lord is in the days of your youth. It's right now while you're young and you're strong and your mind is good. before the evil days come, and you may one day say, the days I have no pleasure in them anymore because of physical affliction or tragedy or burdens that have come upon you, the burdens of life that sometimes come and they have fallen and heaped upon you, and it's become very heavy, and life has become a burden to you. That's not the time to try to serve God. It's now while you're young. You know, you guys may have been brought here at the urging of your parents this morning. I remember when I was at that age and I had to go to church a lot because my parents said, this is Sunday morning and that's where we're going. You need to be in church. And so that's why I went. But I really hope that you're here because you want to be. And because that you realize that it is a good thing to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There's no better way for any of us to structure our life and begin our life than anchoring ourselves and our foundation here in the Lord's house and serving God. I don't know where life might take any of you. I could not have predicted the pathway that life took me on, and me even ending up here living in North Carolina. I could not have predicted it, but I also could not have imagined how much that I enjoy it and how much I love it and am thankful for it now. And I will go to my grave praising God for the pathway that He's brought me on. Just little old me and my little insignificant life. So I'll tell you something else Solomon said. Maybe one day we will all figure this out. He says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Solomon said that. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I'll tell you, I have found out, I've learned, it applies to many things in life. It really does. The wise man said that. But the way that we can structure our life, the way that we can apply wisdom to our hearts, the way that we might take advantage of the knowledge that we have of just how brief our life is by doing like Moses says and teach us to number our days, teach us that we might learn them, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. And Solomon said the very beginning of wisdom, it starts with the fear of the Lord. I'll tell you, we're in a good place together this morning. I love this house of the Lord. I love this little church family. God could not have brought me to a better spot. He could not have brought you to a better spot right now for this day, in this occasion, in this moment, to be here together in the Lord's house. I hope the Lord will open our minds and our hearts together today, and I hope He'll teach us these things. Teach us what Moses cried out for, that we might number our days. Teach us that which David said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days and what it is that I may know how frail I am. I'm thankful that we have a God that cares about us. I'm thankful that he left us this book. I'm thankful for all the different writers that told us how short life is. You know, if we go through life and we forget that somehow, it's our own fault, isn't it? Because we've been told. We've been instructed. If we just go through life bumbling around and doing like many people do, and we have no plan and we have no structure to our life, and the Lord is not a part of our life, it's our own fault because God has instructed us and He has left it on record and He's told us these things. I've had the great advantage of living long enough now to see so many of the Lord's little children and the ways, the rich ways in which God has blessed so many of them because they made an effort to serve Him and they put God first in their lives. They put His church as the foundation of their lives and everything else. All the other activities of life fell into place afterwards. And I've seen so many families blessed beyond measure. God will do it for you, and He'll do it for us together if we'll just read His word and we'll take heed according to His word. We'll cleanse our way before God. He'll be pleased to bless us. May God richly bless you is my prayer this morning.